Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Working Remotely, Chapter 5, Earning the Right. The questions this cast answers are, how do I earn the right to work from home? How do I schedule my days when working from home? And how do I get permission to work from home?
Did you hear? The M conference this year will be video recorded. All in-person attendees will receive a copy of the videoed sessions, and we've made available to all a video-only product as well. Have you been wanting to attend the M conference, but in light of everything that's happened in 2020, you're simply not able to travel? You're not alone. Consider buying the video-only version of our 2020 M conference speaker sessions today. More information can be found by visiting manager-tools.com/training.
We originally recorded this cast in March of 2020, and that seems a very long time ago now, given that it is June. Some of you during this time may have been working from home for the first time and for an extended amount of time. We're recording these casts during the pandemic of 2020, and so we're experiencing many new things. There are parts of this cast that will apply while working from home during the pandemic. And there are parts of this cast that will help us to concentrate on how to earn the right to continue to work from home after the pandemic, should you choose to do so. There's also a bit at the end about going into the office. And while we realize now is probably not the best time for everyone to be going into the office, it is something to consider for the future if you do continue to work from home. So a bit of timely guidance, a bit of timeless guidance, and we're here to help. Let's get started.
Being able to work from home is a privilege. It's something you have to earn the right to do. You don't just get to go to work and say, hey, I don't feel like working today, or I don't feel like going into the office, or I don't feel like getting dressed today. I'm going to work from home. None of those are good reasons to work from home. They won't make you productive and effective. And working from home really isn't as easy as many people think it is. And part of the reason it's not easy is that a lot of managers are fearful about how well they're doing their jobs, about how good a manager they are being. And they worry that if they can't see their directs, they won't be able to be as good as they are, let alone any better. They worry that out of sight, out of mind, or out of sight, you could be doing anything if I can't see you. And yes, it's silly because who knows what you're doing on a computer if you are across the desk from your manager and they can't actually see your computer. You could be on Reddit all day and they don't have a clue. But the fear that they have does play into whether or not they want you to work from home. And so when you do want to work from home or you want to work remotely, you have to earn that right and you have to continue to earn the right. If you start working remotely and you start off well and you're productive and your manager thinks this is working out, and then all of a sudden your productivity slumps because now you've discovered you can be on Reddit all day, then they're going to call you back to the office. They're going to tell you, no, you can't do that. And for those of you who remember, a few years ago, Yahoo had a lot of people working remotely and decided to bring them all back into the office when they discovered that a lot of those people weren't actually working. So it's not unprecedented for companies to bring people back from working remotely after they've given it to them. And so if you want to continue to work remotely, then you need to be aware that you are earning the right to do so every day. And we've got some guidance for you to help you do that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to discuss getting results, well-scheduled mornings, available afternoons, and then going into the office. Whatever your level of productivity in the office was, it must be equal or better working from home for you to continue to be allowed to do so. You know, if you've been listening to Manager Tools or Career Tools for any length of time, you're surely tired of hearing that careers are built on two things, getting results and building relationships. However, we say these things because they are true. There is no silver bullet or secret strategy that anyone can tell you that will trump getting your job done. That's number one. It is true. Doing good work is the basis of career success. And so we want to be aware of our productivity levels when we're working from home, of course. And this is part of what plays into our manager's fears, right? It means
yes,
knowing the results that you're expected to get and having a plan to achieve them, the how of this is really too long to share here in another cast because we have a lot of podcasts about this. So we're going to refer you to our other casts here. We've got some productivity casts that some would be an understatement.
Yeah, if you go to the website and you go to podcasts and all podcasts, find this podcast. And when you click on it, on that page, there's links to all of the other casts that are relevant to this one. So there'll be a bunch of casts linked that are about goals and personal productivity and about getting goals from your boss and knowing what you're supposed to achieve and breaking those down and all of those kind of pieces of getting results.
When we talk about this stuff, we're really focused on results and we recommend taking the goals and the plans and putting them somewhere that's very visible when you're working. I wouldn't even say rely on them to be in like a piece of software or a notebook. Maybe make sure you can see them at all times, put them on your cork board. I have one above my desk, or put them on a piece of paper, you know, big and big marker, so that you can see them all the time. Make sure that when you work at home, you're surrounded by your goals, because it's true when you're in the office, right? When you're mm-hmm. in the office, you're surrounded constantly by reminders of what you're supposed to be doing. Your colleagues remind you just by being around, right? That there's things going on. And so you have these constant reminders in the office that are there.
And so you have to replicate that for yourself. You could, I guess, take pictures of your colleagues and put them up on the wall. That would be a bit weird. So your project plan or your goal plan or what you want to achieve this week and sort of updating that is really helpful. If you put your whole plan for the year up on a wall and you leave it there, by week two, you're not seeing it anymore because it's just part of the wallpaper. So you want to keep updating it so that it's fresh, partly because that helps you see whether or not you are achieving your goals, and partly because that gives your eyes new stimulation and your brain new stimulation and it stops kind of that seeing it but not seeing it thing. You know, when you see your customers, it reminds you what you're supposed to be doing. You know, there's nothing like somebody walking past your desk and going, oh, supposed to do that for that person, quickly do it before you. And when you don't see those people, you can be really easily lulled into thinking that you've done all your work or you don't have anything urgent or important. It's really important to set up your space to remind you. And it might be ugly, but it's necessary. Kate, how long have you been working from home? Four years?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been working from home for 10, I think. So take it from us. If you're currently working in an office and thinking about working remotely, you're probably saying, well, that's just silly. But, you know, experience tells us that our brains are pretty good at telling us we don't have any work to do, or that we've done all our work, or there's nothing urgent, because our brains would really rather go somewhere else and do something else. I've got a half-finished puzzle, which my brain keeps telling me, it's a half-finished puzzle, you should go finish it. Fortunately, Kate called me this morning, so I didn't go. So why are results so important? Well, even more than they were when you were in the office.
Well, in this podcast, we're assuming that you've been commuting to work in an office and that you're new to working from home. In most cases, this is going to be couched as an experiment, and there will be a spoken or unspoken condition that if the experiment isn't a success, you will have to go back to working in the office. You'll have to resume working in the office. The major concern of any manager, having agreed that a direct work from home, is that that direct will not get their work done. The moment they see this fear being realized, or even a hint of this fear being realized, their direct gets yanked back to the office just as fast as you can say, please. The fear here will really overcome your being allowed. You know, a manager's results are predicated on the results obtained by their directs. The manager doesn't do all the tasks of the directs. That's the whole point of having a team. He does, though, get assessed on whether those tasks are done on time and to standard. And the manager's success relies on that of his team, his directs, which is why managers legitimately have so much concern about the results that their directs are getting. You know, if you're a manager, knows that they're responsible for your productivity in terms of their success for the year, then she is going to be focused on whether or not you're achieving those results, those metrics, while you're at home. And it's stressful for her to feel that way.
Exactly. And worse if the whole team starts working remotely all at once. That'd be awful. And lots of studies show that people are more productive when they work at home. The energy that you normally expend getting to work and, you know, taking your lunch and dealing with the traffic and dropping off children, all the things that you have to do before you get to work, or, you know, after you leave your house, but before you get to work, is redirected into the work. And the lack of interruptions allows for deeper work. You know, if there's not people walking past your desk, then you get interrupted less. And even if you have slower internet at home, sometimes that's a good thing because it makes multitasking less attractive. There's nothing like the fastest internet at work for you to have 18 tabs open and be switching between them. And so lots of studies show you will be more productive as long as you follow a bunch of basic rules. But the fear of your manager is that you won't be. And it's probably unfounded, but for good reasons. And so in the first few months of working from home, your objective is to be more productive than you were previously, whether that was in an office or a client site or a store or somewhere else, wherever you were working before, be more productive at home. That is, produce more results of the list of results that your manager wants. So being more productive doesn't mean, I get my work done and then I can work on my pet projects or the things I want to do. Like, it means get your work done and then get some more work done of the work that your manager values, not that you value. And if you get better results than you have done in the office, then there's good reason for the manager to continue to allow you to work from home. Because in most cases, all other things being equal, your manager would rather you were in the office. So then you have to overcome that by getting more results. And that's not to say you have to work from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. or 10 p.m. or, you know, we're not talking about driving yourself into the ground. We're talking about being productive. And since most people are, you know, that some of the studies I've seen have said, you know, people are productive for 20% of the workday. No, if you get that up to 30%, that's okay.
Another topic that's going to help you with this is to schedule your mornings well. Not only do you need to be working, but you also need to be seen to be working. Managers can easily, if they can't see you, make the assumption that maybe you don't send, like, if you don't send any emails, right, before 10 a.m., that you haven't done work by then, that you haven't been in the office by then. And that will influence them into thinking that you're not getting the results that you promised. Morning time is the best time for you to prove that you are working. This means scheduling meetings in the morning. If you can, start those meetings at your normal start time, especially at the beginning. The bigger the meeting, the better. You'll need to sound awake and contribute good suggestions. Being present in spirit is not enough to convince anyone that you're really working. And, you know, maybe that means a few minutes of emails, at least an email to your boss first thing in the morning. Maybe it means a meeting with your boss that's, you know, at your normal start time, things like that. Consider that visibility in the morning might be a bit of a reassurance for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also because they are looking for this while you're not there. They're looking for something that proves that you're alive out there.
And that they made a good choice in trusting you.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. And so we want to honor that. Another good way to do that is to use video as much as possible so that not only can you be heard, but also seen to be working. This might take a little bit of work. You need to have a tidy office. So be aware of that. Definitely turn your cameras on before your first video meeting to make sure that the view is appropriate and that you're not backlit or something, or, you know, that someone's not looking at the other half of your office, because obviously what's behind you can be a big deal, right? Your office needs to be tidy. You do need to be wearing work appropriate clothes.
All the way down, because you never know when you might have to stand up.
Yes. Yes. No, you know, collared shirts with basketball shorts or something like that. You do need to have like the sleep out of your eyes, hair brushed, hopefully, which, yeah, ladies, perhaps forego the comfortable hair up in the messy bun and choose something more polished. The messy bun is sort of can be interpreted as I just rolled out of bed, which is the last thing we probably want.
And you and I both have long enough hair that we do. We feel the messy bun, you know, we feel the, oh, I just put my hair up, but
yeah,
you know, it really can look like you just rolled out of bed. And that's not the impression that you want to give.
From someone with long hair, the distinction is in terms of the polished look, I have tested this. Do not put it on top of your head, put it at the back of your neck. Because there's only two places you can put it without it interrupting with the headset. Like,
oh, good point.
Honestly, there are really only two places, especially if you have a lot of hair, where you can put it where it doesn't fall throughout the day. So just put it in the messy bun thing, but put the messy bun at the nape of your neck. That's the trick.
You've got more hair than I. That isn't a problem, but that's a really good trick if you've got hair like yours.
So much hair, and it's there's never a place to put it that the microphone, you know, you've got two different headsets and it's all, there's very few ways to not have it in a certain place. So aside for 50% of our audience, remember that part of the benefit of working from home is getting some deep work done, whether your hair's on top of your head or at the bottom. And we want this deep work to be done first thing if a fire breaks out.
Yeah. So before the fires break out, like the part of the benefit of working from home is that you can work, say you start work at 8 and you always left your house at 7. So that between 7 and 8, you are commuting, going to Starbucks, you know, rolling into the office, getting some coffee, and you get to your desk and you start work at 8. So there's that hour. So part of the benefit of working from home is you can use that hour to work on deep work, because nobody expects you to actually be working until 8 o'clock. And if you listen, a few weeks ago, we did getting up, work family balance, getting up early. And we talked a lot about what you can do in the time before everything starts in the day and how effective that can be. So that time is really valuable time, because it's time just not long after you've woken up. So your brain is fresh. Hopefully you've eaten breakfast, had coffee, you know, your brain is really working well. So do some good work then. And, you know, before anybody else gets into the office or anybody else logs onto the system, it's usually quiet. There's, you know, if there was a crisis going on, somebody would have woken you up.
Yes.
So the benefit is crises or fires, whether they're real or metaphorical or overblown, don't usually break out until later in the day. So get the most important stuff done early, before you have to have calls, before you have to have videos. That's nice. And then you can take a longer lunch or knock off early if you start early, subject to some of the caveats that we're going to give you in a second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The longer you've been working from home and achieving the desired results, the more flexibility you have. In the first 3 months, you'll need to be very cognizant of the impression you're giving of your work ethic and productivity. Many people miss this and take advantage of later mornings or earlier ends to their afternoon immediately and wonder why their work from home experiment ended badly. It's like a test phase.
It is like a test phase. It's a proving phase in that first 3 months. Give all the benefits to your work and to your manager, and then you'll get the benefits for yourself.
Yes.
But don't take the benefits for yourself first, because then it won't be continued. And I just thought of something else that you are really good at and I'm not, which is filling your calendar with meetings and or work. So there's things on your calendar that say, work on this, work on that. And some of it is individual work that you're just doing on your own, but it's very clear what you're working on from your calendar. And that's a really good strategy, again, to prove to your manager that you're working, or to reassure them that you're working. And it's really good if those pieces of work are something that ends up in results that you can send them. So there's a kind of proof that it was, not only did I plan my day, not only did I do what I said I was going to do, but now I can prove that I did actually do that thing on my calendar. And so later on, when your manager has seen those results and they trust you, then you don't have to do that. You know, that thing can be on your calendar and it can be work that you don't have any proof that you've done. It could be study or research or, you know, those kind of things. And they will continue to trust that that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about working from home is there's a rhythm to offices. And when you have been in the office for a long time, you don't know that you're cognizant of that rhythm. And for a lot of y'all, probably the way that works out is you know when you could go for coffee and take a longer coffee because, like, you know when you could go to Starbucks because you are used to the rhythm of the office. So you know there's like a natural lull. Those times and lulls and rhythms change when you work from home. So if you are in the first 3 months, you really want to focus on being productive. And then you'll discover those lull times based on, you know, what the rhythm is of your home combined with the work, the office work. So once it's been a couple of months, you'll have a full understanding of when things are going to be slower and you could maybe go run an errand, or when things are going to be slower and you could, you know, take a little bit of extra few minutes for lunch. Because
yeah, that's true.
I eat lunch like over my sink half the time, even though I'm at home, right? I don't take a longer lunch because of our time zone stuff. But then at 3 o'clock, I know, you know, there's often like this little lull where, okay, you can step out for a second or go get a coffee or whatever.
That's right. I was just thinking the same thing. Like between 4 and 6, nobody is going to, it's very rare for anybody to call me. And if it is, it's Mark. And I know that he's traveling or he's in a car or he's doing something where he's likely to call me. And then I just stay home. And after 6, Mike is likely to call me. Yeah. So there's like a 3-hour, you know, 2-hour bit where I can run to Target, run to Walmart, run to the gym, whatever I want to do, and nobody will really notice. But it did, you're right, it took a while to work out when that time was.
Mm-hmm. And it depends on where you're at and who you work with and what time's up. It's very fluid and it will solidify if you give it some time. But at the beginning, you don't know. And so you could end up popping out for lunch and that's like a terrible time.
Yeah. And, you know, you do that twice and your manager calls you and you say, oh, I'm in Target or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they're like, why are you constantly in Target, even though it's only twice?
Right? Exactly. For sure. Yes.
It would seem that among all the quarantines and curfews, it's a better time than ever to curl up on a comfy chair with a good book. If you've not read them already, we've got two we'd recommend, The Effective Manager and The Effective Hiring Manager. Both are available on our website for purchase in hardcover and can be found on Amazon in hardcover, Kindle, and audiobook versions. Get your copy today.
Okay, so let's talk about afternoons.
Yes. In the same way that it's important to be seen and heard working in the morning, you should also be seen and heard working in the afternoons. During the afternoon, this looks like being present and available for calls or meetings, as well as being on email, IM, or other communication methods that the team uses. Essentially, there's some proxies for, yes, I'm here. And some of those are pretty simple. Consistently answer the phone when it rings. Obviously, if you're already on a call, you can't do that. And you could send a text or an IM that says, hey, I'm on the call with so-and-so, I'll call you back. I did this yesterday. Mark called me and I declined his call and then immediately Slacked him. And I said, hey, I'm on with Dan, I'll call you back. And of course, that's great, right? Now he knows not only am I like actually working, but I've prioritized someone over him. But that's something that your manager would consider a proxy, right? Listen to your voicemails, return your voicemails, especially if you decline someone's call.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of being at your desk when people walk by. That's the corollary there. If someone is consistently not at their desk when people walk by, people wonder if they're doing any work at all. The same is true if you don't answer the phone or respond to IMs. That's the same kind of measurement for them.
You're allowed to go to the bathroom. And don't take your phone, please.
Please don't take your phone.
But I can guarantee if your manager calls you 3 days in a row and you're in the bathroom every time, they're going to suspect that in the bathroom is code for sitting on my sofa watching Friends.
Aw, which you can't really do anymore because Netflix took it away.
Oh,
so sad. In the same way that you can't, you know, always be in the bathroom or whatever, you have to, when you answer the phone, be at home, not running errands. You can't be at Target. Being able to run errands when everyone else is at work is a benefit of working from home and having a more flexible schedule. But until you've proved that you're as productive at home as you are at work, don't give your manager or anybody else reason to doubt that you're still committed. For at least the first 3 months, you need to be at home. Even after years, you need to be at home at least 80% of the time that someone needs you, if not more. Or it needs to be on your calendar and very clear, you know, I have to go to the eye doctor, or I have to do this thing, take the dog to the vet or the kids to the, you know, something. It needs to be clear, because this is one of the benefits, but it's also one of the things that people are afraid will interfere with doing what you need to be doing, which is working and achieving results.
And another thing about calendar, because you just said that about, you know, I'm taking the kids to an event. Your calendar needs to be 80%, 90%, probably 95% work. Mm-hmm. If you've got a calendar that's got, you know, taking Jimmy to baseball, taking Zach to basketball, going to the doctor with Zach. I've just got two children, apparently. I can't think of any other names. you know, if every day from the end of school, or every, you know, third day from the end of school to 5 o'clock, if that's when your office finishes, you have something child related, and the expectation is that you work from 8 to 5, then again, it doesn't matter that it's on your calendar. That's too much non-work stuff on your calendar. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're going to say you're not getting it. It almost doesn't matter if you are knocking your goals out of the park, because the suspicion will be, we should have given you bigger goals, because apparently you can slack off every afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, there's the communication of it, but there's also the perception. Mm-hmm. And on this too, you know, another benefit from working from home is that you don't always need to be at home. It's nice to have a change of scene sometimes, maybe work at a coffee shop or in the library. Oh, we have the most beautiful library here in Austin. I would love to work from there. I would love to move in there. and we don't recommend you do this initially unless your internet is out. If your internet is out, okay, find a new location. If somebody calls and they can hear the noise of a coffee shop, and I promise you they can, they're again going to wonder whether you're fully devoted to the work you should be doing. Which, a note here, y'all, if you're wearing noise-canceling headphones, they can still hear the background noise, just so you know. All you AirPod people out there, the new generation of them have noise-canceling, which only benefits the person who's wearing them. Also, okay, so earbuds aside, about your internet, if it goes out, you need to notify the team that you won't be as responsive as normal. Otherwise, they will draw negative conclusions. At work, if people don't understand or they don't have a high level of trust with you, their first assumption is going to be negative. If your internet goes out more than twice a month for an hour or so, then you need to find a more consistent internet provider. You need to look at switching. Also, I think if you're working from home, you'll find very quickly that most of the internet for most of the people out there is not enough to work from home. Mm-hmm. It's different here in Austin, because it is, but in Phoenix, our internet for our normal lives was so slow as to be dinosaur based. And we had to, you know, they just don't provide high level internet everywhere. So you need to look into that. You need to look at your speeds, test your speeds and all that. Part of working from home is having the right equipment, and reliable internet is, I would honestly say, it's either number one or number two on that list.
Mm-hmm. And plug your computer into the Ethernet cable from your router. Don't rely on your Wi-Fi.
Sure.
Because it's amazing. I have 1,000, whatever they are, fiber.
Yes.
Internet points. But my Wi-Fi is consistently 400.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. The difference is huge. And I know I should have a booster and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it doesn't bother me, because I work on my work computer, which is plugged into the Ethernet, and I get 1,000 on it. So that's a really, you know, if you're not particularly internet savvy, you might not know that. So there you go. Yeah. Here's my little tip for you.
Hard line. Okay. And having said all of this, we still recommend that you do go to the office occasionally. Don't drag your heels if you're asked to go to the office, or if there is a good reason to do so. Having implemented all that we've recommended in this cast, you've worked hard at making sure that out of sight isn't out of mind. You do not want to cause a negative perception. You want to continue to be part of the team, not that guy we never see. Go to the office for the whole day if there's a birthday or other celebration. As well as showing your team that their events are important to you, you'll be able to make a change in their perception by using that time to reaffirm your relationships. Also, if you're working from home, you might be kind of socially not exposed because it happens. Like,
yes.
I just talked to someone the other day who has started working from home 3 weeks out of the month, and their perception was that working from home would make them want to leave the house more. I have discovered working from home makes you want to leave the house less.
Yes.
You actually have to shoehorn me out of this place at this point, which my local friends have discovered very quickly. So you might actually, you're dreading the drive, right? But instead, what you'll discover is you'll get there and you'll probably enjoy it more than you think. Reaffirm those relationships, you know, see what's changed. You might want to mention those things to people the next time you're on the video. Being away from those people at your office, you don't get the same level of data about them. You know, someone changes their hair or you know, there's just all kinds of things that you see in person that you don't see when you're on video.
Yeah, I've noticed that if you are on video or doing a phone call, there's a lot less chit-chat. You and I had a conversation yesterday about handbags because you and I have worked from home for a long time, and therefore we have a conversation before we start recording.
Right.
But when I first started working from home, like, the discussion about handbags is like of no value to our work whatsoever. And so we wouldn't have it. And you get straight to the work and that's all you discuss. And so you miss that kind of conversation. You miss mm-hmm. that like little intricacies of people's lives. If you think about people that you communicate with regularly, so for instance, I live in the US, as most people know, and my parents live in the UK, and we speak every Sunday morning. And so what happens is we end up talking about what happened that week, all of the minor things that happened that week. Whereas I don't speak to my brothers for months at a time. And so what we end up talking about is the major things that happened and we don't get the detail of each other's lives. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happens when you start working from home and other people are working from home, or you only have this telephonic or video relationship. You end up not talking about the minor things, and that degrades your relationship. The people that you talk to most often, where you talk about the minor things, those are the people you're closest to. And so being aware of that is really helpful. So when you go into the office, you can notice that, yeah, someone is sitting in a new desk, or someone's got a new bag, or someone's there's a new guy who's maybe not in your team, but he's sitting across the way. And so the next time you're on video, you say, "Hey, when I was in the office, who's the new guy that's sitting over there?" Like, it's just that random chit chat is incredibly invaluable to relationships.
Yeah. It is. Someone who's really involved in your life knows the small things that happen to you during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just little stuff. And you might consider going to the office for special meetings, a product kickoff meeting, go in person. Any all hands, attend in person. Even if video is available, show up. It's a little bit like writing the thank you note. Because so few people do it, now you're setting yourself above the crowd, right? Of course, your performance review, attend that in person. If something big is happening, it behooves you to be present. There's so much going on that's not spoken, and you'll miss it if you're not in the office. You know, like things like moving, like people move. And if you might not know, honestly, just all kinds of little things. There's nothing worse too than an in-joke that you're not in on because you're not in the office.
Because you weren't there.
Yeah. Right. Just small
and
things.
Nobody ever explains this. Oh, you had to be there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm an outsider, which is not what you want. So we said at the beginning, working from home is a privilege, not a right. You have to earn it, and you have to continue to earn it, because you can be asked to go back to the office or back to wherever you were working. You have to be a productive, successful member of your team, and you have to be seen to be earning it. And for those of you who say it's not fair that appearances matter, it's not fair that I should be judged on my work alone, yes, and human nature, it cannot be overcome. We're not robots. We don't judge people based on the points on the board. We judge people for all sorts of other things. And it might seem like a lot of work. It might seem like we've just given you a whole bunch of things to do and a whole bunch of things to think about, which is true. And there's huge benefits to working remotely, which are all the ones you are thinking about right now when you think, I could work remotely and it would be awesome. Yes, it would.
Yeah, we're trying to help you reap the benefits.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.